Chapter 1. The Diary of a U-Boat Commander. 1 volume of my war journal completed, and I must confess it is dull reading. I could not help smiling as I read my enthusiastic remarks at the outbreak of war, when we visualized battles by the week. What a contrast between our expectations and the actual facts. Months of monotony, and I haven't even seen an Englishman yet. Our battle cruisers have had a little amusement with the coast raids at Scarborough and elsewhere, but we battle fleet fellows have seen nothing, and done nothing. So I have decided to volunteer for the U-boat service, and my name went in last week, though I am told it may be months before I am taken, as there are about 250 lieutenants already on the waiting list. But sooner or later I suppose something will come of it. I shall have no cause to complain of inactivity in that service, if I get there. I am off tonight for a 6 days trip, 2 days of which are to be spent in the train, to the Verdun sector. It has been a great piece of luck. The trip had been arranged by the Military and Naval Intercommunication Department, and two officers from this squadron were to go. There were 130 candidates, so we drew lots. As usual, I was lucky, and drew one of the two chances. It should be intensely interesting. I arrived here last night after a slow and tiresome journey, which was somewhat alleviated by an excellent bottle of French wine which I purchased while in the Champagne district. Long before we reached the vicinity of Verdun, it was obvious to the most casual observer that we were heading for a center of unusual activity. Hospital trains traveling northeast and east were numerous, and twice our train, which was one of the ordinary military trains, was shunted onto a siding to allow troop trains to rumble past. As we approached Verdun, the noise of artillery, which I had heard distantly once or twice during the day, as the casual railway train approached the front, became more intense, and grew from a low murmur into a steady noise of a growling description, punctuated at irregular intervals by very deep booms as some especially heavy piece was discharged, or an ammunition dump went up. The country here is very different from the mud flats of Flanders, as it is hilly and well wooded. The Meuse, in the course of centuries, has cut its way through the rampart of hills which surround Verdun, and we are attacking the place from three directions. On the north we are slowly forcing the French back on either river bank, a very costly proceeding, as each wing must advance an equal amount, or the one that advances is enfiladed from across the river. We are also slowly creeping forward from the east and northeast in the direction of Douaumont. I am attached to a 105-centimeter battery, a young Major von Markel in command, a most charming fellow. I spent all today in the advanced observing position with a young subaltern called Grabble, also a nice young fellow. I was in position at 6 a.m., and as apparently is common here, mist hides everything from view until the sun attains a certain strength. Our battery was supporting the attack on the north side of the river, though the battery itself was on the south side, and firing over a hill called La Mort. Von Markel told me that the fighting here has not been previously equaled in the war, such as the intensity of the combat, and the price each side is paying. I could see for myself that this was so, and the whole atmosphere of the place is pregnant with the supreme importance of this struggle, which may well be the dying convulsions of decadent France. His Imperial Majesty himself has arrived on the scene to witness the final triumph of our arms, and all agree that the end is imminent. Once we get Verdun, it is the general opinion that this portion of the French front will break completely, carrying with it the adjacent sectors, and the French armies in the Vosges and Argonne will be committed to a general retreat on converging lines. But favorable as this would be to us, it is generally considered here that the fall of Verdun will break the moral resistance of the French nation. The feeling is that infinitely more is involved than the capture of a French town, or even the destruction of a French army. It is a question of stamina, It is the climax of the World War, the focal point of the colossal struggle between the Latin and the Teuton, and on the battlefields of Verdun, the gods will decide the destinies of nations. When I got to the forward observing position, which was situated among the ruins of a house, a most amazing noise made conversation difficult. The orchestra was in full blast, and something approaching 12,000 pieces of all sizes were in action on our side alone, this being the greatest artillery concentration yet effected during the war. We were situated on one side of a valley which ran up at right angles to the river, whose actual course was hidden by mist, which also obscured the bottom of our valley. The front line was down in this little valley, and as I arrived we lifted our barrage onto the far hillside to cover an attack which we were delivering at dawn. Nothing could be seen of the conflict down below, but after half an hour we received orders to bring back our barrage again, and Grabel informed me that the attack had evidently failed. This afternoon I heard that it was indeed so, and that one division, the 58th, which had tried to work along the river bank and outflank the hill, had been caught by a concentration of six batteries of French 75s, which were situated across the river. The unfortunate 58th, forced back from the riverside, had heroically fought their way up the side of the hill, only to encounter our barrage, which owing to the mist, we thought was well above and ahead of where they would be. Under this fresh blow, the 58th had retired to their trenches at the bottom of the small valley. As the day warmed up the mist disappeared, and like a theater curtain, the lifting of this veil revealed the whole scene in its terrible, yet mechanical splendor. I say mechanical, for it all seemed unreal to me. I knew I should not see cavalry charges, guns in the open, and all the old-world panoply of war, but I was not prepared for this barren and shell-torn circle of hills, continually being freshly, and to an uninformed observer, aimlessly lashed by shell fire. Not a man in sight, though below us the ground was thickly strewn with corpses. Overhead, a few airplanes circled round amidst balls of white shell bursts. During the day, the slow circling airplanes, which were artillery observing machines, were galvanized into frightful activity by the sudden appearance of a fighting machine on one side or the other. This happened several times. It reminded me of a pike among young trout. After lunch I saw a spat shot down in flames. It was like Lucifer falling down from high heavens. The whole scene was framed by a sluggish line of observation balloons. Sometimes, groups of these would hastily sink to earth, to rise again when the menace of the airplane had passed. These balloons seemed more like spectators at some athletic contest than actual participants in the events. I wish my pen could convey the impressions of the past day, but it cannot. Abler pens than mine have abandoned the task of describing a modern battle. The dominant impression that remains is of the mechanical nature of this business of modern war, and yet such an impression is a false one, for as in the past so today, and so in the future, it is the human element which is, has been, and will be the foundation of all things. Once only in the course of the day did I see men in any numbers, and that was when at 3 p.m. the French were detected massing for a counterattack on the south side of the river. It was doomed to be stillborn. As they left their trenches, distant pygmy figures in horizon blue, plodding slowly across the ground, they were lashed by an intensive barrage, and the little figures were obliterated in a series of spouting shell bursts. 5 minutes later the barrage ceased, the smoke drifted away, and not a man was to be seen. Grabel told me that it had probably cost them 750 casualties. What an amazing destruction of living organism. Diary of a U-Boat Commander,